Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Beis. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll notice that we have a house shape and a double underline featured. The explanation on the side, Rab of Rav Yosef, Cholkim, B'mash Oma Rav Kana Marav. So you'll see in the house form, you have Rabba and Rav Yosef are emphasized, and each one of them, Rabba and Rav Yosef, will be quoting Rav Kahana in the name of Rav as to what did they say, Be'inyin Chalitza B'minol U'Besandol. Regarding Chalitza using these two different types of shoes, a minol is a leather shoe, soft leather, that covers the entire foot. A sandal is made of hard leather that if it were to rip, it's irreparable, and it doesn't cover the entire foot. It is basically a sole with a, we'll see the issue of having a heel on it comes up in the discussion, and as we saw in the Mishnah, the issue of whether or not it has a heel to it, and it has a straps that are attached to, we'll call them rings that are on the side of the sandal. Now, the sandal happens to be the most desirable type of shoe to use for chalitza. The issue concerns, what about the minol? So, according to Rabba, we've written on the side, lo cholzin b'minol l'chadchila. Minol is not a first choice. Again, the minol is a closed type shoe made of soft leather. If it were to rip, it would still be able to cling to the foot, as opposed to the sandal. According to Rav Yosef, cholzin b'afilu l'chadchila, the minol is as good as, even as a first choice. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rabo, Omar Rav Kan, Omar Rav, Im Yovoi Eliyahu, Viyomar, Cholzin Beminol, if Eliyahu, the prophet, would come and say that Chalitza can be done with a Minol, Shoymin Lo, we would listen to him. That's point Aleph. If he were to say, Ein Cholzin Besandol, we do not use a sandal, Ein Shoymin Lo, we wouldn't listen to him, Shikvar Noagu Ha'om Besandol. The community, the nation has already used a sandal. Just before we go ahead, structurally, note that Rabba made two points. It was Aleph and Beis. The Beis that Rabba mentioned was Ein Cholzin Besandol. If Eliyahu would say, we don't use a sandal, Ein Shoymin Lo. If you skip now, just another two lines, at the end of the line you see another Beis, Ein Cholzin Besandol, Ein Shoymin Lo, Shikvar Noagu Besandol. Regarding point Beis of Rabba and Rav Yosef, there is no difference. So when you have multiple factors in a sugya, it's good to know which ones are the point of controversy and which ones are not. So we can de-emphasize point Beis in Rabba because he and Rav Yosef don't argue over that. However, regarding the minol, so Rabba says that if Eliyahu would come and say, you can use a minol, so we would listen to him. Now, it's mashma, you can infer from that, and Rashi points this out, that if he wouldn't come and say to use a minol, so we wouldn't use a minol. So according to Rabba, a minol is not a first choice type thing. You'd need Eliyahu to come and say to use it, otherwise we wouldn't use it. Now, let's continue. V'Rav Yosef Omar Rav Kana Marav. Rav Yosef quotes, again, you see Rav Kana Marav with the double underline. Im Yovo Eliyahu V'Yomar. If Eliyahu would come and say, Ein Cholzin B'minol. Note, this is a point of difference. According to Rabba's version, Eliyahu would supposedly come and tell us, you can use eminol. So this version has, if he would come and say, don't use eminol, shomin lo, we would stop using the minol. But until he comes, we do use it. We'll use it even lechatchila, even as a first choice. Ein cholzin besandol, if Eliyahu would say not to use a sandal, ein shomin lo, we would not heed him. Shekvar nohagu ha'om besandol, the nation has already chosen, has already adopted using a sandal. My binai, what is the point of difference between Rabba and Rav Yosef? And we already emphasized this before. Here the Gemara asks that. What is the point of difference? Iko binai minol lechatchila, the use of minol as a first choice. According to Rabba, it's not a first choice. According to Rav Yosef, as things stand right now, it is good. It is as good as anything else, as a first choice. In other words, I say anything else means it's as good as a sandal. You can use it as a first choice. According to Rav Yosef, Uleman Domar Afilu Lechatchila, according to Rav Yosef, who says that a minol is good even as a first choice, V'hot Tnan, have we not learned in the Mishnah Cholza B'minol Chalitzosa Kshera, that if a minol was used, then it's okay, but the language saying that it, well, if you used it, it's okay, that's post facto. D'eved in, if you did it, then it's okay. Lechatchila lo, but not as a first choice. So is that not a problem for Rav Yosef? The Gemara answers, Huadin dafilu lechatchila. Truth is that minol would be good even as a first choice. V'aydi, the boy lemisna seifa, since at the continuation of the Mishnah, it taught, ban pilya chalitzasa psula, using a cloth-type shoe, the chalitza would be unacceptable, dafilu the evin. There, in fact, it's not good even on a post-facto choice as a... it's not good even post facto, meaning it's not good whatsoever. That's as far as the cloth shoe. So Tona Nami Reisha Dievet, so the Reisha was also using a post facto tone of speech. But one shouldn't infer from the Reisha, which spoke about the minol, that the minol is good only as something used post facto, but it is in fact good even as a first choice. The Gemara continues, uminol lechatchila, using a minol as a first choice for chalitza, tanoi hi. This is a machlokes tanoim. Desanya, and here you have a Tanaic source, in which this point of this point of controversy will be mentioned. Desanya Amar Rabbi Yosi Pamachas Olachti LeNitzivin. Once I went to Nitzivin, it's the name of a place. Vatzasi Zokin Echad. I found an old man or a sage Amarti Lo, and I asked him Klumata Boki Rabbiuda Ben Becerra. Are you knowledgeable in the teachings of Rabbiuda Ben Becerra? Omar Li, and the elderly man said Hain. Baal Shulchani Hu Tadir. Yes, I'm familiar with him, and he eats by me on a regular basis. Klum Roisa Shecholatz Bivama. Have you ever seen him oversee Chalitza with a Yivama? Omar Li Roisi Shecholatz Harbe Pamim. I saw Chalitza done numerous times. Then I asked, Biminol o Besandol? Was it a Minol type shoe or a Sandol kind of shoe? Omar Li Biminol. He used a minol. Amarti lo im kain, ma ro Rabbi Meir lomar cholza b'minol chalitza sakshera. Then why is it that Rabbi Meir presented the use of a minol as good only post facto, that if it were done, then it's okay? Rabbi Yankiv oimer mishmo, Rabbi Yankiv says in the name of Rabbi Meir, cholzen b'minol lechatchila. You can use a minol even as a first choice. So you see from here, the final opinion was minol is good as a first choice. The opinion stated, expressed just before that, was if you did it, it's good, but b'dieved, only post facto. As we continue in the Gemara, on the side you may notice a taknosei. This is a subtopic heading, and we've written Leman Domar Minol Lechatchila Lo, according to the opinion that the Minol is not a first choice. My time, why is that? So now we turn to the Gemara, The question you can see is a four-line question. Uman de Omar lechatchila lo. According to the opinion that said the minol is not a good first choice, my taima. Why is that? I lemo mishum dehavyo panso meal va'arakso meal de meal. The pasuk mentions that the shoe shall be removed me'al raglo, from upon his foot, from over his foot. So the Torah seems to be giving very specific directions of how and from where to remove the shoe. If you might say that the problem is with regard to the shoe, that the pansa, that's the top part of the shoe. We mentioned at the beginning of our shir, the minol is a type of closed shoe. We could say similar to our shoes. When we speak about shoes, we have shoes that cover the top of our foot as well. So that would be considered from on top of the foot. And the minol also happens to have straps, something that might be in the order of similar to the idea of laces, but they're straps that go above the top of the shoe. And the Yavama, the sister-in-law, she has to undo these straps and then remove the shoe. So that maybe the problem of the shoe is that the pansa is considered me'al raglo, but the araksa, the straps, are me'al de me'al. In other words, that's above that which is above. V'ha-Torah omra me'al. And the Torah says that she shall remove the shoe from me'al raglo, v'lo me'al de me'al, but not from above the above. Well, if that's the pshat, if that's the problem, then why do you say that the shoe is good post facto? Even as a second choice, it should be no good. It shouldn't be good even post facto. And that's not true. We one will agree that if it was used, it's okay. So, what is the problem with the min'ol? Answer number one: Gzeira mishul min'ol merupat. We're afraid that it might tear. And that's a merupat is a situation where the leather cracks, tears. Rashi says merupat mevuka. Mevuka split, korua, or torn, milamala, from above. The kevan de rochich, since it's a softer material, afagav de korua, even though it's torn, mesiv leakari, it still will cling unto the foot. Aval sandal, shehu koshe, the sandal which is made of hard leather, ein yochol liyashva raglo mishenifchas. If it cracks, it won't cling to the foot anymore. Veleko lemigzar midi. And then there's no, and as a result of that, the sandal is not something that we're fearful that after it tears, it'll still remain on the foot. Now I think we should make the assumption that the shoe that's torn, even though physically it appears to be on the foot, it's not considered truly on the foot. And the Torah wants the Yavama to be the one responsible for removing the shoe from the foot, as opposed to a torn shoe which would fall off automatically. So in the case of the minol, we're fearful that you'll have a situation that it could be torn. If it tears, it'll still appear to be remaining on the foot. And as we said before, then you have a situation where it's not as if the Yavama, the sister-in-law, is really the one removing the shoe. But a mistake could occur. Not so with regard to a sandal. So with regard to the sandal, there's no fear of this situation happening. Inami, another possible problem with the minol is mishum chatsi minol. Because of it turning out to be a half a shoe. Omar Rav. Ilav de chamise, if I had not seen, chamise is to see, if I had not seen lechavivi, Chavivi is a term referring to Rav's uncle, the famous Rebbe Chia. If I hadn't seen Chavivi, my uncle, Rebbe Chia, the Cholatz B'Sandal, the Is Lo Shinsin, that he used a sandal that had Shinsin. Shinsin are straps. Ano Lo Havoi Chalitzno, I wouldn't practice the Chalitza, Elo B'Sandal the Taya. The Mahadik Tfei. I wouldn't do Chalitza other than with the sandal of the Arabs, which is a type of sandal that clings tightly to the foot. And from the context, it would appear that this kind of sandal of the Taya doesn't employ the straps in order to keep it tightly affixed to the foot. Maybe we should have mentioned earlier, before we began this sukkah, that the sukkah would be made much easier if we had illustrations that accompanied it. So, in the absence of illustrations, we'll have to employ our imagination from time to time. The Gemara continues, V'hai didon, means our chalitza shoes, afal gav de is bei chomrasa. Let's take a look at Rashi. Afagav dis bechomrasa, kesher koshur al sfosav, a knot that is tied to its rim, umamidoi shaloyetse minoregel. These knots help it such that the sandal doesn't fall off the foot. Afilu hachi b'shas chalitza katrinon be misna. Even so, at the time of chalitza, we attach to it a misna, a strap, kihechi de tesi hi v'tishri, so that there is an opportunity for the yavama to come along and undo something, the hodar tachlos, and then remove the shoe, v'tehevei chalitza ma'alyo. That's the best form of chalitza. Now, so that my understanding from this Rashi is that the sandal that we have has in it some type of permanent knot that remains and enables the shoe to cling onto the foot. But nevertheless, we want the Yavama to be actively involved in the undoing of the shoe from the foot, so that we attach this item called the misna, a type of strap that she will undo and then remove the shoe from the foot. Let's see now in the Gemara. Afagav the is be chomrasa. This our shoe, even though it has the chomrasa, which are these knots that cause the shoe to be affixed firmly to the foot. Katrinon be misna. We tie, attach to it a strap. So that you have a high quality job of shoe removal being done. The following couple words are a simen. These are key words that introduce the maimros, comments made by Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, as the Gemara continues. And hence on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have the topic heading and structural note combined into one, where we feature the diamond Sidro Shel Halochas Rav Yehuda Marav, a series of halochas in his name, Benyan Chalitza Samino, with regard to the removal of the shoe. The names you can see appear in diamonds, and this marking scheme will continue down the first third of Omid Beis. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Hatoras Yavoma Lashuk, the element that enables the Yavoma to be discharged from her Yibum bond and enable her to marry out into the public, B'shmitas Roiv Ha'okev, it's with the removal of the majority of the heel. The Rashi says, B'shmitas Roiv Ha'okev, K'gon She'shomta Es Roiv Ha'okev Min HaSandal, most of the heel was removed from the shoe. Afal Pi Shelo Chotzosei Kulo, even though the shoe hasn't been fully removed, Hutra. That is the point in time that she officially becomes allowed to marry someone else. The Gemara asks, Meisvei, Hutru Ritsuos Minovasandal. Hutru means they came loose. She did not undo them. Oy Shishomat Roiv Horegel. Or he, the man, the brother-in-law, removed the majority of his foot, and she finished it off. She took it off completely. Chalitza psula. The chalitza is not done properly. So that if the straps get undone by themselves, where namely she didn't undo them, or he removed most of the shoe, and she simply finished off the job, we say that's not acceptable. Now we infer. Taimo deshomat hu. The problem here is that he removed the majority of the shoe. Ha shamta he. If she removed the shoe from the majority of the foot, kshera. That is what would be a good chalitza. And now we emphasize the problem. Rov ha-regel in Rov ha-akev lo. In order for the chalitza to be good, she would have to remove the shoe from the majority of the foot, not the majority of the heel. So that this is a problem. The inference we're drawing from this Tanaic source is a problem for Rav. Rav was enabling her to become muteres, to become permitted with less shoe removal. The Gemara says lo. The way we drew our conclusions is not correct. Rather, hainu roiv ha-regel, hainu roiv ha-okev. The term roiv ha-regel is interchangeable with roiv ha-okev, roiv of the heel. V'amai kori lei roiv ha-regel. Why would you say the majority of the heel is called the majority of the foot? Answer, dekula chaylo dekara olei dochis. That chayla is the strength, the entire strength of the car, of the foot, is resting upon the heel. So that when we speak about rove of the foot is a term that's interchangeable with the heel, because the heel is that which supports the foot. The Rashi says, "Dochis nismach," it relies upon, rests upon. Loshen dochis. Now we continue in the Gemara. Messiah lei the Rabbi Yanai. That which we said above concerning the straps getting undone and the chalitza not being good is a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Yanai's teaching. The Amr of Yanai, Bein Shehitir Hu Vishomta He, whether he undid the straps and she removed the shoe, Bein Shehitiro He Vishomat Hu, or she undid the straps and he removed the shoe, Chalitza Sapsula, either one of those would constitute an invalid Chalitza, Ad Shetatir He the Tashmid He, until she does the undoing of the straps and she does the removal of the shoe. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, and on the side, under the Mivne heading, we have this crown shape. Shnei She'elois Be'inyan Hasoras Hanal Me'oregel. Two questions regarding the removal of the shoe from the foot. Boi Rabbi Yanai. Korasehu Mahu. Instead of untying the straps and removing the shoe in the, we'll say, the normal fashion, she tore the shoe off his foot. Sarfasehu Mahu. Literally, she burnt the shoe off his foot. Rashi cites that she What if she threw a hot coal on the shoe when it was on his foot and it burnt the shoe off his foot? Gilui kara bo'inon vo'ika is the goal to expose his foot, and that has been accomplished. Odilmo chalitza bo'inon v'leka, or must it be the removal of the shoe, or the slipping off of the shoe? And that is lacking in these cases. Teku. So that remains unresolved. Bomine Rabbi Nechemya me Rabba. Rabbi Nechemya asks a question of Rabba. Shnei min olim ze al gav ze mahu. Two shoes on his foot. What is the din? Hechidami. Well, what are the details? He lema de shalfase le'eloi v'koi tasoi. That she removed the upper shoe and the lower shoe remains. That can't be. Me'al Omar Rachmona, v'lo me'al de me'al. The pasuk mentioned, and we cited this pasuk earlier, v'cholzenalo me'al ragloi. Me'al raglo, the pasuk says, from atop, from upon his foot, not from that which is above that which is above his foot. So the removal of the outer shoe, leaving the lower shoe still on his foot, wouldn't be sufficient. Lo, sricha. So the question is not that, but rather, dekara se l'eloi, v'shalfa se l'tatoi, v'koi iloi mai. What she did was tore the upper shoe in such a way that she could now slip off the lower shoe with the upper shoe remaining there. Chalitza bo'inon bo'ika. Does the Torah expect shoe removal from above, from upon his foot? And that has been done here. Odilma giluye kara bo'inon v'leka. Or is the goal to expose the foot? And that's lacking in this case. You'll notice that this second possibility, Gilui Kara Bo'inon, is similar to the first of the two possibilities in the previous question. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Omi Iko Ki Hai Gavna. The Gemara asks, what kind of question are you asking? Is there, could there be such a thing? So the Gemara says, yes, there could be things like that. The Chazua Rabbanan, the Rav Yehuda, the Rabbanan noticed Rav Yehuda, the Nofak B'chamisha Zuzi Muki L'shuka. He went out into the market with five pairs of Muki, some type of foot gear. Rashi says, uses a foreign word, a French word for the word muki, and he says kashim heim v'chein b'loshen aravikar and the minolim almok. So it's like some type of foot gear, and for our purposes, Rav Yehuda is described as having worn five of them. So if you're asking about it, could it be that a person would have two shoes, one on top of the other? Yes, such a thing could be. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Yevoma She Higdila Bain Ho'achin. You can have a situation where the Yevoma, as a girl, as a youngster, grew up amongst the brothers. Muteras Linose Le'echod Min Ho'achim. She can marry one of those brothers. In other words, we have a situation where there was a girl, we'll say a young girl, married one of the brothers, and he died, leaving no children. And we say that she is able to marry one of the surviving brothers, even though she grew up in the same house with them. Now, you're asking, what's the problem? What's the issue over here that we have to even bother mentioning this? So here it is. The Ein Choshishin Shema Cholza Sandol Le'echod Mehem. And we don't worry, we don't we're not concerned that maybe over the in the course of time she removed the shoe from one of them. So you have to imagine some type of intimate household, and she is growing. She's married to one of the brothers, and she lives amongst within this family. And after the husband died, she was still in the same household with the other brothers. We don't have to worry that maybe she removed the shoe from one of them, in a sense, doing an act of chalitza. And as such, so Rav says that she can marry one of the surviving brothers. This situation is featured on the side in our topic heading, Haim Boy Kavona B'Shas Chalitzas Hanal. Do we require intent at the time that the shoe is being removed? You're going to notice that in this sukkah, structurally, we have a volcano shape, and this represents there are two lishonos on how to draw an inference from this. So the first lashon, the first version, taimo delo chazinon. According to what Rav Yehuda Marav says, is that what the impression that he gives us is that, well, we didn't see any shoe removal, and therefore we don't have to take it into consideration. We don't have to suspect maybe she did it. But all of this is because we didn't see her removing a shoe. Ho chazinon. But had we seen her removing a shoe? Chayshinon. Are you saying then we should suspect that that was an act of chalitza? We take a look at Rashi on the second line from the top. Ho chazinon. The chalitza. Chayshinon. Dilma. Chalitza hi lefoslo aleihem ve'afal gav delo niskavnu lechalitzas mitzvah. So is this really the case? Rav Yehuda Marav tells us, not having seen anything, she happened to be in the same household with the other brothers, so we don't have to suspect it that maybe she did a shoe removal. But had we seen her remove a shoe, does that mean then we should consider that an act of chalitza, even though there was no intent? V'ha tanya, but we have learned, Bein sheniskaven hu, v'lo niskavna hi. Whether he had chalitza intentions, but she did not, Bein sheniskavna hi, v'lo niskaven hu, or she had intentions of releasing herself through a shoe removal, but he, the brother-in-law, did not, Chalitza sapsula, ad she is kavnu shneim kechod. The chalitza is invalid until they both have chalitza intention. When we say chalitza intention, we're simply using a shortened form of an intention that this act shall be the means of being matir her, allowing her to marry into the public. So the Gemara responds, Hochi ka'omar. Thusly, Rav was really saying, Afal gav de chazinon, even if we saw her remove a shoe from one of the brothers, ein choyshishin shema kivnu. We don't worry that maybe they both had intent. Ve'ika di amri. The Rashi on the third line from the top says, "Viko." I mean, this is an introduction of the second version. In vadai taimo delo chazinon decholza. Rav's heter is because we didn't see. We in fact did not see. Ho chazinon decholza. But if we saw her remove the shoe from one of the surviving brothers, chayshinon dilmo niskavnu umifsol alayu. We do suspect that maybe they had chalitza intention, and she would not be allowed to marry them anymore. So now we continue in the Gemara. V'iko de'amri taimo de'lo chazinon. Ho chazinon choshishin. Had we in fact seen it, the sister-in-law removed the shoe from one of her brothers-in-law, we would concern ourselves that maybe they had kavana. Udekotona boy kavana, and that which the source said that you do require intent, hanimili lishtirula almo. In we should point out then, according to this lashon, the Hector of Rav Yudah Marav was simply because we didn't see any shoe removal taking place. But had we been witness to shoe removal, that would have been enough that to aser her on one of the brothers. Now, you'll still ask, if we saw, does that mean there was intent? So, didn't the source say that we need to have positive intent for it to work, and that we don't know to be over here? So the Gemara qualifies that and says, "Hani mili lishtru the alma." The need for positive intent for the shoe removal to be a formal chalitza, that's in order to allow her to marry someone else. Avol le'achin. But as far as the brothers are concerned, mifsala, she does become disqualified, even though we didn't hear any expressed formal intent. It's enough that we saw the widow, the sister-in-law, removing the shoe from one of her brothers-in-law, that it would be enough to render her unfit to continue with Yibum, with the marriage. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Sandal HaTofur B'Pishton, a sandal that's sewn together with flax. Rashi on the first narrow line says, "Hatofer b'pishdon, shetofer b'socho beged pishdon, kein shetofer b'socho levodim." According to the first lashon, there's a lining that was sewn into the shoe. Lishnachrino, hatofer b'pishdon, shetofru b'meshicha kein shelanu. That the sandal was tied, was sewn together like our shoes are sewn together. So Rav Yudah Marav says, if it was sewn together with Pishdan, ein cholzin bo, it's unfit for chalitza. Shenemar, the posuk says, v'analech tachash. The tachash is a creature, is an animal, and hence na'al, which the posuk v'analech na'al is defined as something that's animal related. And hence, the pishdan, which is flax, it's a plant, it's the source of linen, would not be acceptable for the chalitza shoe. V'yema tachash in midyachrina lo. Maybe, if you're citing this pasuk v'analech tachash, maybe the chalitza shoe must be made only from that creature known as the tachash and not from anything else. The Gemara answers, nal riba. The presence of the word nal multiple times indicates that we include more than just tachash. Question: now riba afilu kol mili nami. If now is coming to include more than just the tachash, so include everything, and allow the pishdan to be an acceptable material in the making of the shoe. Well, im kain tachash mayahanile. If you're going to say that we're coming to include everything, so then what benefit we have, or what effect is there from the presence of the word tachash, which is in fact an animal, which it is limiting. So you have on the one hand an inclusive factor, and that enables us to include all other kinds of animals, but you also have a limiting factor. The inclusive factor was the ribui of now, and the restrictive factor is the fact that tachash is cited, thereby excluding plant materials. Bo mine rebolozor meirav. Hu shel or vitarsioisov shel seor mahu. Let us say the basic sandal is made of or of leather. And tarsiosov Rashi says those are the rutsuosov, the straps, that they are made of sear, of hair, animal hair. Mahu, what about that? Omar le mi lo karinon be vanalech tachash, would we not be able to refer to that, the pasuk of shoes made of tachash? The hairs come from the animal. It's not a plant source. So Rashi says the seras minoitzu shalizim, from goat hairs. So doesn't this conform to the shoe requirement? Well, the Gemara says if you're saying that straps made of goat hairs are kosher, then yachi kulo shel sear nami. Then a shoe made entirely of goat hair should be kosher. And we don't say that. The Gemara says, Hahu karka mikri. That has a, that's not referred to as a shoe. It's, it has a different name for it altogether, making it a separate category of footgear beyond the realm of a nal. Omar le Rav Kahana l'Shmuel. On the side of the Gemara, we should note under the Mivneh structure, because here you'll see double underlines that appear. These are kushios mipsukim al ha di onu meforshim es hamila v'choltzu inyan shel hasara u'shlifa. We've been working with the assumption that the pasuk that says v'choltza nalo me'ar aglo, v'choltza means the removal of a shoe. Who says that v'choltza means removal of? Maybe it means something else, and we'll see the Gemara suggestion. Now the Gemara. Omar le Rav Kahana l'Shmuel. Mimai dehai v'choltza nalo me'al ragloi. Who is to say that this pasuk, where you see the word v'choltza mishlafu, removal, dechtiv v'choltzu es ha'avonim asher bohen hanega, where in fact there is precedent for the word v'choltzu, or the root of the word cholatz, ches lamitzari, meaning removal. There is precedent for that. You find it in the case of a house that's been afflicted by tzara'as. And in the procedure of dealing with that issue, it says you shall remove the stones that have the nega, the affliction. The amah, but we want to suggest an alternative, zeruzi hu, that it has to do with strengthening. Rashi says, Ruzi hi shenot loso me algabi karka umani loso baraglo. In fact, it would mean the opposite, that she picks a shoe up from the ground and puts it on his foot. Dichtiv, hecholtzu me idchem anoshim latzava. Remove from your from the people men for the army. In other words, you're choosing people to function as soldiers, so that it's a lotion of zeros, means to strengthen something, to increase something. So maybe that's the idea of chalitza sanal in the pasuk. V'choltza nalo would mean that, as Rashi says, she takes the shoe from the ground and puts it on his foot. The Gemara answers, Hosam nami, there, the pasuk that you cited, in fact, means removal. Shlufi mi beisa lekrova, remove from their houses to the war front. So that hecholtzu me'idchem anoshim latzava, in fact, means like the pasuk v'choltzu es havonim, removal of. And hence, our pasuk would mean removal of shoe. The Gemara asks, v'hoksiv yecholetz oni be'onyoi. Now Rashi says, "V'oksiv yechoitz oni bonyo klomar yizar zenu v'yitein lo koach." Strengthen the man who's impoverished in his state of poverty. So you see that yecholetz means strengthening. The Gemara says, "No. In fact, over there, it's a lashon of removal. Bischar onyo." What the pasuk is saying, that in exchange or in reward for him suffering poverty, Yecholtzo midino shel gehenem, he'll be removed from the pain of purgatory after he dies. so that as a result of enduring a life of poverty during his lifetime, he'll be spared, removed from the pain of Gehenna. Ella, a question. The pasuk would seem to mean that the angel of Hashem surrounds those that are God-fearing and strengthens them. So the Gemara says, no, it actually means removal. Bishar yireyov, in reward for their being God-fearing, yichaltsem midino shel gehenem, they will be spared from the judgment in purgatory. Elohodichti vats mosayach yachlitz. Now, in this pasuk, it would seem that there's an indication of your bones being strengthened. The Omar Rav Elazar Zumeula Shebebrochos. This is the best of the blessings. The Omar Rava, and Rava explains Zeruze Garmi, strengthening of bones. So that why couldn't Vecholzanalo in fact mean strengthening? Or as we saw before in the Rashi, putting on the shoe. The Gemara says in Mashma Hochi Umashma Hochi. The truth is that a word with that root, ches lamed tzadi cholatz, has both mashmoyos, both impressions can be derived from that word. Both connotations exist. The hocha here in the case of the avoma, e salka daitech zruzihu, if you were to think that it means in fact strengthening, im kein lichtoiv rachmona v'cholza nalo biraglo, the shoe is then fastened upon his foot. And it doesn't say that, though. It doesn't say biraglo onto his foot. It says, the pasuk actually says me'al raglo. The Gemara questions, though, and says, that's not convincing. E kosa brahmona biraglo, had the Torah used that word, have amino biragloi in b'shoikoi loi, I would have thought then that the halacha of chalitza is limited to the actual foot and not to the shok. The shok is that part of the foot beneath the knee. Therefore, kosa brahmona me'al raglo dafilu b'shoko, even from the shok, there could be the mitzvah of chalitza performed in the case of a person whose foot was amputated. So the pasuk couldn't have used biraglo because I would have lost this meaning. The Gemara says, well, if that's the case, im kein lichtoiv rachmona bi me'al raglo. If you want to push your point that the pasuk could still have meant putting the shoe on the foot, and we argued, if you're going to say that, then I'm going to lose the shok idea. Well, the pasuk then should have said bi me'al raglo, my me'al raglo. The fact is, the pasuk doesn't say bi me'al; it says me'al raglo. Shma mino. This is therefore conclusive mishlafu. It means removal of the shoe. So it's the word v'cholatz isn't the giveaway, because as we said before, v'cholatz has that dual connotation. But since the pasuk said v'cholza nalo me'al raglo, the me'al is the giveaway. That proves, that shows us that here it has to mean removal from. The mem indicates from, removal from. Omar le hahu mino the Rabbi Gamliel. It was a heretic or early Christian that approached Rabbi Gamliel, and he says, Amo decholatz le more mine, you are a nation, the Jewish people, that the Almighty has removed himself from them. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Bitzonchem, Bitzonom uvivkoram yelchu, levakeshes Hashem velo yimtzo, cholatz mehem. So this, of course, is in line with Christian theology, that the Almighty has abandoned, has left the Jewish people, has, we'll say, exchanged them for another people. And that's what this heretic or Christian was trying to say. From this pasuk, you see that the Almighty has abandoned the Jews. Amar le shoite. So Ramliel says, "You fool! Mi ksiv cholatz loy." Is that what it says? Cholatz mehem ksiv. Now, had the pasuk said cholatz lo, then we would have had what chalitza represents. Chalitza is a severing of a bond. It's a situation where the brother-in-law frees where through the chalitza the sister-in-law is now free to marry someone else. Well, had it said in the pasuk that you are citing cholatz lo, so then there would have been that connotation that the Almighty allowed a chalitza ceremony to take place, so to speak, figuratively. Cholatz mehem ksiv. However, the actual verse reads cholatz mehem. Now, if you apply that speech form to chalitza, you know what comes out? V'ilu yevoma decholtzu achim. A yevoma where the brother removed his shoe. Where the brother did the removal, which is what the language of the pasuk indicates, that the Almighty, he did the removal. Well, if that happened in a case of chalitza, midi mashosha ispe, would it have any meaning? That would be a useless chalitza. The woman has to remove the shoe. And if the brother-in-law removes the shoe, then it has no severing value of severing of that bond. So since the pasuk in reality describes the Kodesh Baruch Hu as removing himself, so to speak, that doesn't have any effectiveness in creating a real break, and hence the Almighty is still bound up with the Jewish people. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, Be'an Pilya Chalitzasa Psula. On the side, we have a topic heading, Birur Al Hodikotoni, a clarification regarding that which it says in the Mishnah, Be'an Pilya Chalitzasa Psula, Demashma Shan Pilya Lav Minohu. This implies that the Anpilya, which is a type of cloth shoe, is not a shoe. And we have here, and this is a point that we mention very often in the case of Gemara learning, in the context of our Gemara marking shiurim, that one has to be very careful to not fall into the trap of simple translation, but understand that we're primarily interested in halachic categories. So even though in English the word shoe can apply to all kinds of different materials, we're dealing with halachic considerations. Does something qualify as a minol with all its halachic ramifications, including which being used in chalitza? Yes or no? So now the Gemara continues. Lameimra, our Mishnah seems to say, Dan Pilya lav minol hu, that an anpilya is not a minol. The Mishnah said that chalitza done with an anpilya, the removal of an anpilya from the brother-in-law's foot, would not be effective whatsoever. And hence it would sound that it's not categorized as a minol, because a minol does create a severing of the yibum bond. So our Mishnah would seem to indicate that an anpilya is not a minol whatsoever. Utna nami, in fact we have a Tanaic source that would indicate that ein hatorei nichnas in the Beis Hamikdash there was an office, a chamber that contained the monies, we call it the temple treasury, and there was a movement of money from different containers that took place, as described in Masechet Shkolim and in other Gemaras in the Shas. Here we say Ein HaToreim Nichnas Lo Bepargoid Chofus V'lo Banpilya. He is not to enter that chamber with a Pargoid Chofus. Rashi says it's a type of shirt or tunic that has a border to it, a folded up, we'll say, rim or border to that particular kind of garment. We want to have a smooth, borderless type garment. So he doesn't enter with this pargud chofus, veloban pilya, the ein sorach lomar, and it goes without saying, he's not to enter beminol v'sandol, l'fishein nichnosim beminol v'sandol azora. And minol and sandol, besides the, we'll say, the problem that could arise by being in the temple treasury, those are invalid altogether when it comes to entering the Beis HaMikdash. One is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash with a minol or a sandal. Now, maybe just one more word of background to this particular source. This garment, for example, the Pargut Chofus, if a person entered the treasury with this kind of garment that has cuffs to it or borders to it, that could arouse suspicion that the individual walked in there and took out from there some souvenirs, i.e. coins that he tucked into the border of the garment. So in order for a person to be free of any suspicion, he goes in with a borderless, smooth type garment. And the source says that one doesn't go in there with the Pargut Chofus, nor with an Anpilya. Now, the fact that the source teaches Anpilya in contrast, Rashi adds, by the way, that the Anpilya, this type of cloth shoe or stockings, is also something that lends itself to suspicion. Not, namely, someone could slip some of the coins into that and walk out, and we want to avoid all suspicion. But the phrasing that you see in this source says, not with an ampilia, and all the more so obvious not to enter with a minol or a sandal. So you see that the ampilia is something else. Vera minu. Now we raise a contradiction from a source that deals with Yom Kippur. It says here, echod minol v'sandal v'ampilia, whether it be a minol, a sandal, or an ampilia, lo yitayel bohem, one should not stroll around in them, walk within them, lo mi bayas la bayas, velo mi mita la mita, not from house to house, not from room to room, and not from bed to bed. On Yom Kippur, there is a requirement to be, we'll say, one should be without shoes. So in this source, you see that minol sandal plior are taught all together. And on Yom Kippur, we know that there is a prohibition of something we call ni'ilas sandal, wearing of shoes, so that wearing the antilia would be a violation of the wearing of shoes. So antilia is a min'ol, according to this. Omar Abaye. So Abaye explains, de'is bei ksisi umishum tanug. The objection to wearing the ampilya on Yom Kippur is not because it's considered a na'al, but rather because Yom Kippur is a day where one is to refrain from pleasure, we'll say. The mitzvah of the Torah is inui, it's called. Ta'anu es nafsho seichem. That we're supposed to experience a form of deprivation, of suffering, deprivation on Yom Kippur. And with the ksisi are pads, soft material, so that this anpilya that has in it, the ksisi is a type of comfort that one gets from it, and that would be in violation of the laws of Yom Kippur. So that's Abaye's explanation, that anpilya is not now, but it's a separate problem of ta'anug, of enjoyment and pleasure. Omar le Rava. Rava challenges Abaye, says, O mishum ta'anug b'lo minol b'yom ha'kipur mi'asiri. Is it so that pleasure that's non-shoe related is usur on Yom Kippur? Is that really so? That's not true. When we speak about Yom Kippur as being a day of deprivation, it's quite specified what type of deprivation. But simple, the fact that someone enjoys himself on Yom Kippur, that's not a violation of Yom Kippur. V'ha Rabba Barav Huna Korach Sudra Akare Venofik. On Yom Kippur, Rabba Barav Huna wrapped a sutra, a turban, soft material. He wrapped it around his foot on Yom Kippur and walked out like that. So that just the fact that his foot was enjoying, experiencing comfort by being wrapped in the sutra, that's not a problem. Elo Omar Rava. Lo Kashya. We have to answer the seeming contradiction between the two sources above. The first source, which said Veloba Anpilya, indicating that the Anpilya was in contrast to a shoe, because in that source it said Vein Sarach Lomar B'Mino, the sandal. And the second source, the Yom Kippur source, which indicates the Anpilya is a shoe. So he says there's no contradiction. Kan Banpilya Sha'or, Kan Banpilya Shel Beged. In the Yom Kippur source, it's an Anpilya that's made of leather. And Yom Kippur is a day where one is to avoid foot gear containing leather. And the source dealing with the Trumas HaLishka, with the temple treasury, that's Banpilya Shel Beged. It's made of cloth. Hachi Nami Mistabran. In fact, that's very likely. If you don't use this distinction, then Kashya Yom HaKippurim HaYom HaKippurim, you're going to find an inherent contradiction within the topic of Yom Kippur. Desanya, the source says Lo Yitayel Adam B'Kur D'Kisin B'Soch Beso. A person should not stroll around with Kur D'Kisin or some type of, maybe they're slippers, they're very thin shoes. It's a very thin type shoe. Rashi says, "Minolim dakim shenum tachas minolim ovim v'agein min amayim v'nekroyim undershuch b'loshen Ashkenaz." In German, they're called undershuch. Undershuch means under the shoes, and so it's some kind of elaborate sock that one wears before he puts a thick shoe above them, and it's to protect from water. So on Yom Kippur, one is not to stroll around with Kur D'Kisin in his house. Avol mitayel hu ba'anpilin besoch beso. So here you have a source, a Tanaic source, regarding Yom Kippur, allowing a person to be mitayel with anpilin. Now, just a few lines above, if you scan up, about six, seven lines up, you have a source where you see anpilya is dashed, underlined, and said there not to be mitayel with anpilya on Yom Kippur. And here it says mitayel, yes, to stroll around with anpilya on Yom Kippur. Elo lav shma mino. So we have to conclude kan banpilya she'or, kan banpilya she'l beged. When you're dealing with anpilya made of leather, that is prohibited on Yom Kippur. The anpilya made of beged of cloth is allowed on Yom Kippur. Tanya kavose de roven. We have a Tanaic source which will support Rava. Cholza b'mino hanifram shechoyfe es roiva regel. If the removal was done, she removed from the brother-in-law's foot a minol that was nifram. Nifram is an expression that has to do with something that's torn or frayed. And it covers the majority of the foot. Besandol hanifchas shemekabelis rovo regel, or a sandal that's been broken. But most of the foot, the majority of the foot, fits into it. Besandol shel sha'am, a sandal made of sha'am material. Veshel siv, siv is a fiber that grows on palm trees. Bekav hakitea, or the prosthetic foot of an amputee. Bemok, besmichas raglayim. Banpilya shel or. The mok, Rashi gives a French word for that. It's made of felt, and it's hard and protects the foot. Smichas haraglayim, Rashi says, Smichas haraglayim, Rashi, four lines from the bottom, says, Misha mahalich biyodov v'goreis raglov, someone whose feet are incapacitated, and he uses his arms in order to move from place to place, and his feet drag on the ground. So, Oysalem smichas shel eitz, he prepares for his feet so that they don't become bruised because of their dragging on the ground, so some type of wooden support is made for them, oshel or umachnis lesocha, or something, a leather protection, and the feet are slipped into this. What else is mentioned in this list? Banpilius shel or, vachaletzes min hagodol, bein omeid, bein yoshev, bein muta, whether he's standing, he's sitting, or he's leaning, vacholetzis min asuma, or the removal of a shoe from a blind brother-in-law, chalitzasa ksheira. In all of these cases, the chalitza is acceptable. Avol b'minol hanifram she'ein chofes roifo regel, a minol that's been frayed and doesn't cover the majority of the foot, besandol hanifchas she'ena makabel es rov haregel, again a sandal that's broken and doesn't receive the majority of the foot, ubesmichas hayodayim. Smichas hayodayim, Rashi at the bottom of kuf beis amid beis, these are for one's arms. It's an arm protection. It might be made of leather, and as the person is, we mentioned before, a person whose feet have become disabled, so he's dragging himself along by maneuvering with the arms. So he has an arm protection device. So the use of that in chalitza, you'll see, is not acceptable. Uban pilya shel beget, and here you see we dashed underlined this as we had dashed on the bottom of the previous omid beis, kuf beis omid beis, ampilya shel or, and here you see ampilya shel beget is mentioned, the ampilya made of cloth, the chaylezes min hakoton, or the removal of the shoe from a minor who is a brother-in-law. Chalitzasa psula. If the brother-in-law is a minor, so he is not a candidate, we'll say, for chalitza, which would free her to marry someone else. What's the point of having brought in this source? We see a support to Rava. Here you see a source that makes a clear distinction between Anpilya Shel Or versus Anpilya Shel Beged, just like Rava said. The Gemara asks a question. This question lasts a couple of lines, and the issue at hand is, who is the author of that which we had learned? In other words, we had learned a Tanaic source, but there's no name in it. So the Gemara asks, Kav Hakitea Moni, the source in which we saw the prosthetic for the amputee as being considered kosher for chalitza. In other words, it's called a min'ol. Who would be that? Who says that? Rebbe Meir he. This would be in accordance with Rebbe Meir, this snan. Hakitea, the amputee, yotze bekav shelo, divrei Rebbe Meir. That on Shabbos, which is the topic of this source, it is permissible for the amputee to ambulate with his kav, with the prosthetic. And Rabbi Yossi Oser, Rabbi Yossi does not allow that. So you see from the fact that he, according to Rabbi Meir, he's allowed to walk around, he can go out into a public thoroughfare with the kav, it is a form of clothing, a shoe item, which of course the person's allowed to wear his shoes, and he's not considered transferring the clothing he's wearing from one domain to another, whereas carrying other articles would be prohibited. So the fact that Rabbi Meir says that the kitea, the amputee, can go out on Shabbos from his house to a public domain with the kav, with the prosthetic foot, that indicates it's a type of shoe for him. Rabbi Yossi asers. So as far as the authorship of kav, of the kitea being considered a foot, that would indicate the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Be'anpilya shel beged, this source that said that using anpilya shel beged is puzzle, this would be in accordance with the opinion of the Rabbonon. Rebbe Meir, you see, since he says that the Kav of the Kitea is considered a Na'al, so you see that in Rebbe Meir's mind, the Pasuk that we cited before, V'analech Tachash, which meant animal products like leather, is not specific, it's not limiting the we didn't mention, but the prosthetic of the amputee victim is made of wood. And he's saying that the wooden apparatus is considered na'al. So once you say that a wooden apparatus is considered na'al, according to Rebbe Meir, the analech tachash posuk doesn't limit me to leather. And once I'm not limited, so according to Rebbe Meir, the anpilya shel beged would be acceptable as well. Now we have a source in which it said anpilya shel beged is not acceptable. That can't be Rebbe Meir. That would be according to the Rabbanon. So now we have a source that is a split personality. It's one Tanaic source. Part of it seems to be written by Rebbe Meir, and the other part seems to be written by he who argues on him. Now that can't be. Omar Abaye. So Abaye represents the first approach. He says, "Midseifa Rabbanon Reishonami Rabbanon." From the fact that the Seifa reflects the opinion of the Rabbanon, in which the Seifa said, "Anpilya Shebeged is posel," the Reisha must also be according to the Rabbanon. Now, what's the problem is, how do you explain, according to the Rabbanon, that the Kav HaKitea is being kosher? The Reisha, the Mechupa, or the Kav HaKitea, that prosthetic foot, is covered in leather. So we're not losing the leather, i.e. animal, aspect of the shoe. So the cloth shoe is purely a cloth shoe. That's unacceptable. The Kav HaKitea, which we said is basically made of wood, but it's coated with leather. Omar Le Rava. So Rava now turns to Abaye with a question. Aval Ein Mechupar Or Mai. According to you, if the Kav of the Kitea was not covered with leather, my, what would the din be? Puzzle. Well, according to you, Abaye, the setup, the source, according to the Rabbanan, if it's not covered with leather, then it would not be acceptable. Yachi, if that be the case, Adetoni Seifa Bampir Shabeged, instead of the Seifa, the end of the source that wants to describe something that's invalid for Chalitza, and it turns to the topic of an Ampir Shabeged, the Ampir made of cloth, that in effect doesn't protect the foot whatsoever. Liflog bedida. You could have stayed within the topic of the Kav of the Kitea and made a distinction therein. In other words, if your goal is to show me cases of something kosher and something not kosher, stay within the case of the Kav of the Kitea, the prosthetic foot of the amputee victim. And the source should have said as follows. Pamed marmo murim. When is the Kav of the Kitea acceptable? Mechupah or when it's coated with leather? Avalein mechupah or puzzle. But if it's not covered with leather, it's unacceptable. Now, but the source didn't say that. It didn't make that distinction. It must be then that according to this source, the Kav HaKitea, even without the covering of leather, is kosher. Now, who would say that? That would be Rebbe Meir. So we're back to the problem. The beginning is of the source is Rebbe Meir, and the continuation of the source seems to be according to the Rabbanan. Elo Amarova, Midereisha Rebbe Meir, Seifonami Rebbe Meir. From the fact that the Reisha, which described the Kav HaKitea as being kosher, is Rebbe Meir. The Seifa is also in accordance with Rebbe Meir. Now, the question is, according to Meir, why is the Anpilya Shel Beged Posel? Answer, Ha Megin, Vahai Lo Megin. The Kav HaKitea, that helps to protect the foot of the amputee. The Anpilya Lo Megin, the cloth Anpilya doesn't protect the foot whatsoever. So as far as Rebbe Meir's standard for what is acceptable and what is not for the shoe for Chalitza, you can see from this discussion that Rebbe Meir requires something that protects the foot. According to the Rabbanan, It's much more limited than that. It has to be something that is, we'll say, conforms to ba'analeich tachash. It has to be something that's animal-based. Certainly, leather would be acceptable, and possibly expand that a little bit more to animal hairs we saw before to be formed into the straps, but not plant growth, according to the Rabbanan. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.